Well, it is St. Patrick's Day, and it is traditionally a drinking holiday. Let's face it. Right. I know some people say it's a religious holiday, but I've never understood how getting drunk and being very religious, coincide. But there are a lot of DUI sobriety checkpoints that have been put up, and this has been going on for several days now. The LAPD, the Emergency Operations Division, established several checkpoints days ago because they're anticipating a lot of people that are drinking because it is St. Patrick's Day, and there's no better authority to talk to us about what happens when people get a DUI. His name is Miles L. Berman, Top Gun DUI defense attorney. Miles has been practicing law for more than 20 years and specializes in DUI cases. Miles, welcome back to the John and Jeff Show. We talked with you many years ago. We appreciate you coming back.
Yeah,
well,
hey.
It's a pleasure to be back with you guys.
All right.
Well, listen, it's St. Patrick's Day, a lot of checkpoints. What happens if someone does get stopped at a sobriety checkpoint?
Well, first, John, I have to ask you, since you're half Irish, does that mean you may only drink half as much?
Well, here's the thing. Jeff is wearing a green shirt, so if he gets stopped, I think he's guilty already because he's got green on.
I fit the profile. I mean, come on now.
That may be probable cause to pull him over.
Of course.
That's what I'm saying.
I fit a profile.
You know, you guys hit the nail right on the head as far as enforcement. We've seen a spike this weekend and today for DUI cases. Not unusual, but there is a spike. So, people need to make sure that, first of all, they drive safely. But when you end up going through a checkpoint, what I do say is what people's rights and obligations are. What people decide to do, that would be up to them. So when you go through a checkpoint, you, of course, you have to identify yourself. You have to indicate, you give your driver's license, proof of registration, proof of insurance. But you don't have to tell the officers where you're coming from or where you're going to. Field sobriety tests are completely voluntary. And if you're older than 21, the portable breath test before arrest is completely voluntary, and there's no reason to take it. After you're arrested, of course, you have a choice of a blood or a breath, or you can oftentimes people withdraw their consent. In other words, when we get our driver's license, we consent to take a chemical test if we're arrested for DUI, but there's people that withdraw that consent and refuse. But one of the things that we've noticed, and it's happening, is it's not just alcohol where people are getting arrested for DUI. There's a huge push, not only just statewide, but also locally, for DUI drugs, both marijuana and prescription drugs. And what we're seeing a lot of is an increase in DUI marijuana clients as well as DUI prescription drugs, people who are lawfully prescribed drugs. They're alcohol-free, both with marijuana and with prescription drugs, not always alcohol-free, but alcohol-free, and they're getting arrested for DUI and prosecuted just the same.
We're speaking to Miles L. Berman, Top Gun DUI defense attorney, talking about the sobriety checkpoints that are enforced in Southern California. It is St. Patrick's Day. Miles, if someone does get stopped and they don't comply doing the field sobriety test, aren't there punishments that you fail to do the test when asked?
No, there's no punishment for not doing the field sobriety tests. Sometimes the prosecutors like to somehow claim a consciousness of guilt, but nevertheless, if there's a lack of evidence, it makes it that much more difficult for prosecutors to prosecute DUI cases.
Okay, and if you do get arrested for DUI, let's talk about first offense. What are we talking about? Automatic suspensions of licenses. What are the rules now in California?
Well, again, you have to understand that we fight DUI cases. So it doesn't mean that just because somebody's arrested for DUI that they're automatically going to be convicted or automatically going to lose their driver's license. Now, on a first offense, and it's different in different counties. Generally, it's always been different in different counties. Different jurisdictions are sometimes more aggressive than other jurisdictions, but here in L.A. County, for example, if you're picked up and convicted of DUI, first offense, no accidents, no injuries, no children in the car, no aggravating factors, then what you're looking at is 3 years probation, a little over $2,000 fine, depending on the alcohol level, a 90-day alcohol program, or 90 days, 6 month, 9 month alcohol program. Insurance cancellation or an increase substantially. Also, installation of an ignition interlock device in any car that the driver owns or has access to, and a 4 month suspension with the DMV. Now, right now, actually, it's been this way for a few years, but I expect it to go lifetime. In many jurisdictions outside California, DUI is lifetime. In other words, they'll stay on your record for a lifetime. But it used to be 5 years, then 7 years, and a few years ago they tried to make it lifetime and compromise and made it 10 years. But eventually it's going to go to lifetime. So that means that people were convicted of DUI 20 years ago and they get arrested again and it's lifetime. That conviction 20 years ago is going to come back to haunt them because it'll be taken into consideration when somebody's prosecuted and it goes to lifetime.
Wow.
And these are some of the things that people don't even realize when they go out, they have a good time, they get pulled over, they get arrested for DUI. And if they are convicted, it can be a life-changing event for many people. Our guest is Top Gun DUI defense attorney Miles L. Berman. He's an expert on DUI arrests. Miles, stay right there because Talk Radio 790 KBC, traffic first on the fours when you need it most. Our guest is Top Gun DUI defense attorney Miles L. Berman. He specializes in DUI arrests, and it is St. Patrick's Day, so a lot of sobriety checkpoints going on today and tonight.
Yeah, so as a public service here, we want to talk about DUIs and DUI checkpoints. Now, Miles, you talked about, you know, they're now applying sobriety tests, not only for alcohol, but for other things such as marijuana. How do those tests differ? I know when you do an alcohol test, you have to blow into the breathalyzer, but let's say someone is, you know, they've had too much of the green stuff. What type of test do they administer?
As if people know as field sobriety tests, but they also check the eyes and various other vitals of the person, depending on what the suspected drug is. So in addition to what's normally done for alcohol, they also do other things as well, like I just talked about.
So if someone right now is, driving, and there are so many people that are drinking and driving on average, and they see a sobriety checkpoint, some people, you know, try to make a U-turn, and then they get pulled over because they didn't want to go through the checkpoint. That often happens, doesn't it?
It does, not as much as one would think, but the thing of it is that the checkpoints are supposed to allow for an escape route, but the police know that people sometimes don't want to drive through the checkpoint, so they have scouts, so to speak, in areas where people may turn off instead of going into a checkpoint and then look for any type of vehicle code violation and pull them over. It's extremely difficult to drive any substantial distance or direction or turn without violating some type of vehicle code violation.
And Miles, how often are there repeat offenders when it comes to DUI? Because if I ever had a DUI, there's no way I would get a second one. What is the rate of someone repeating this offense?
I can only talk about our experiences, and I can tell you the overwhelming majority of clients who are first offenders do not repeat. And I'm not just talking about like 51%. I mean, it's a lot higher than that. So the repeat offenders are a very small percentage of people who actually get arrested for DUI, at least based on our experience. And we've had substantial experience in this area.
How accurate are the breathalyzers that are often used during a traffic stop?
We don't think the breathalyzers, as they're commonly called, or breath tests, are very accurate at all. As a matter of fact, they don't have the ability to measure blood or breath tests. And to try and correlate what the results are in a breath test machine to what the actual blood alcohol level is at the time of the breath test is not an exact science. And there's so many errors in breath testing that that's one of the reasons why we're able to be so successful when we take these cases and take these cases to trial and win.
Now, how often do they have to have these breathalyzers calibrated, or is there such a thing?
Yeah, there is. I mean, the protocol requires every 10 days or 150 blows, whichever occurs first. Mm-hmm. In some jurisdictions, they have a lot of blows in between 10 days. Others, they don't have as many within the 10 days. But that's the outside window, you know, the 10 days.
All right, Miles, if someone refuses a blood test, urine test, breathalyzer test, sobriety test, they get arrested, they're in jail, where is the evidence to convict the the person who has been arrested for DUI. There is no physical DNA evidence, right?
You know, it's a great point. The it's very difficult for prosecutions to get a conviction on refusal cases. Now, on the other hand, there are certain things that the prosecutors have as tools. For example, if the person is captioned on video or audio, and you can tell from what you're looking at or what you're hearing that the person sounds under the influence.
If they're slurring, if they're not walking the line, they're swaying.
Yeah, that's correct. Of course, almost every police report that we see, refusal or not, the field sobriety tests aren't done according to the officer's satisfaction, but that still doesn't mean the person's under the influence of alcohol. Look, being investigated for DUI is a very surreal type of experience. Most people have never come in contact with the police before who get arrested for DUI. Most people are very nervous. They're taken out of their element, oftentimes on the shoulder of the freeway or often some area where they're unfamiliar with, mm-hmm. not necessarily on a level, smooth surface. So it's extremely difficult for anybody to do field sobriety tests completely to the officer's satisfaction.
Now, so many people, you know, they don't have good balance. So when they're doing the field sobriety test, they're on one leg. Sometimes you see someone off to the side of the road. It's cold out. You're shivering. I mean, some people just have some physical disability. Should someone disclose that to the officer to get it into the record? Just so if it ever goes to court, at least someone can say, hey, I have a physical disability of some sort?
Of course, the person is free to tell the officer that they have some type of physical disability, but many healthy people don't think of themselves as having a disability, but I can assure you that somebody who's 60 years old is not able to do field sobriety tests as good as that same person who is, say, 25 or 30 years old, or when that person was 25 or 30. I mean, everybody's different, and everybody's nervous level is different, and everybody's physical ability and agilities are different.
No, you're right. Yeah, I mean, the nerve factor alone, I mean, your heart rate goes up, your blood pressure goes up when you see that red light in your rearview mirror, so naturally you're nervous. You're not really going to be on top of your game because, yeah, the nerve factor is really kicking in.
And for somebody who's stopped for the very first time, and I want to stress most people are stopped for the very first time, they don't even know what to expect. They don't know how to do these exercises, even though many people have seen them dozens of times on television or maybe on the side of the road. But once when you're in that situation, which is fixes me to another point, almost all of our clients come to us and say, we never thought we'd need you. You know, they hear us on the radio and they're familiar with the work that we do. And you know, I always thought it would be somebody else. And people are very aggressive in prosecuting drunk driving cases or wanting them prosecuted until it's them or until it's a family member. And once they realize what they have at stake, I mean, somebody being convicted of DUI, they could lose their house, they can lose their ability to provide for their family, they can lose their job. All following, of course, you know, from employment. I mean, in Southern California, public transportation isn't that great. So having your license suspended, even for 30 days, could be devastating.
Our guest is Top Gun DUI defense attorney Miles L. Berman. He's an expert on DUI arrest. His website is topgundui.com. Miles, we're going to take a break, come back, and talk a little bit more about what it's like getting a DUI, some of the ramifications. Stay with us. It's John and Jeff in for Larry Elder till 6 o'clock tonight on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Talk Radio 790 KABC. It's John and Jeff. We're in for Larry Elder till 6 tonight. 1-800-222-5222. Our guest is Top Gun DUI defense attorney Miles L. Berman. A lot of sobriety checkpoints are in effect as of today because of St. Patrick's Day, a very heavy drinking night. Let's just put it honestly. And Miles has been nice enough to join us to educate us as to what some of the laws are in California regarding DUI checkpoints and taking the tests either at the police station or at the road. But Miles, everyone joining us right now, What again can you say to everyone if they do get pulled over for a DUI? How can they maintain the privilege of driving if they get pulled over by a police agency in California?
Well, first, once, and I assume you're asking to get arrested for DUI.
Yeah.
So, yeah, what's most important is that as soon as they're released from jail, that they need to call and get an attorney. Obviously, you know, we hope they call 888-4-TOP-GUN. That's our phone number. We'd be happy to help. The what we do is we contact the DMV immediately, and we let them know that we're representing the clients, and we stop that suspension from going into effect. We get what's called a stay, and then the 30-day, once we get a temporary license from the police, that's only good for 30 days. So we get that extended, and it gets extended till after the hearing. And, of course, if we win the hearing with the DMV, then there will be no suspension as a result of what's called an admin per se proceeding. On the other hand, if they're convicted of DUI in a first offense, they're going to catch a 6-month suspension, but that can be immediately converted to a restriction. But again, that still can be cumbersome. So that's why it's important to fight both the DUI and the DMV. And like I said, we're available 888-4-TOP-GUN.
So fight it every time.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Just because somebody's arrested, that doesn't mean they're going to be convicted. It doesn't mean that police are going to, that the prosecutor's going to have all their ducks lined up, that the testimony's going to come out. As a matter of fact, testimony in court very rarely comes out the way it's written in police reports, at least based on our cross-examination. So, you know, the officers, they're very good at protecting the public and patrolling the streets and doing what it is they do to make the road safe for everybody. I mean, nobody wants drunk drivers on the road, and of course, us included. But once somebody's arrested and prosecuted, that's a different ball game. And police officers testifying in court, oftentimes it's a little bit out of their element as opposed to being enforcers on the street.
Great.
It's two different skills.
Well, Miles, thank you so much for joining us. Top Gun DUI defense attorney Miles L. Berman has been our guest on KBC. His website is topgundui.com. That's his website. Miles, thanks for giving us some information about drinking and driving. And again, please get a designated driver if you're going to go out tonight. Miles, thanks again for joining us on KBC.
Thanks,
Miles. I appreciate you guys having me on, and I wish everybody a safe and sober St. Patrick's Day.